cold silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a cold of silence and it can't go on.
I'm Alan Ward, cutting through the matrix on the 14th of March 2012. For newcomers, help yourself to the free audios for download at cuttingthroughthematrix.com, and you'll get a wealth of information that hopefully will change the way you think about reality in general and your own conditioning, particularly because we've all had the same brainwashing from birth into an artificial system run by experts at the top that have really covered all the bases. And our cultures, the change in our cultures are all really deemed necessary to control us all and bring us all together at the same time into this global world order system, basically. And it's been that for an awful long time. At the top, you had the big bankers and eugenicists. Of course, they're all eugenicists in the top banking positions. These are the international lenders themselves. And they formed their own clubs at the beginning of the 20th century, actually late 19th century, and came up with the whole idea that since they were already grabbing resources across the world using other countries' militaries to invade, just like today, then they should carry on doing so and eventually own all the world's resources, and they would put it into a fake account, you might say, an account that would pretend to be they'd hold for the world, and they would become the ones that would dispense even food itself to the world down the road and all minerals and things that you buy. So basically it's a world order run on economics in a sense with a eugenic program on it too. And right, they even have departments on the fate of man, the future of man, and they go through how obsolete humans became because of the machinery and mechanization of really the industrial age and how it put so many out of work. And before that, of course, you had artisans going getting put out of work too when the machines came in. So these guys literally worked down through the ages, always planning the future to ensure that themselves and their own offspring are still in charge of the future to come. And the system that they want is a perfected world, almost a post-lower class human type society, definitely. And those who come through will be the ones who are necessary for the new age, as they like to call it, intellectuals, who are really scientifically orientated, and that's really it in a nutshell. You can read their books. I mentioned lots of them in those talks I give at cuttingthroughthematrix.com of the big players who took part in it and how they shaped the cultures of the world, and they altered them generationally. Every generation had its own culture updated for things to come. So when you're reading that too, remember, you bring me to you every night, 5 nights a week at least, and you can help me keep going by buying the books and discs at cuttingthroughthematrix.com, because I don't sell anything else. I don't vlog anything that's going to keep you alive forever, and I don't have shares in any businesses that sell the various products and so on. So I depend upon you, and you can buy the books and discs if you go into cuttingthroughthematrix.com. From the US to Canada, you can use a personal check or international postal money order, or you can send cash or use PayPal. And across the world, Western Union MoneyGram and PayPal once again. And I chronicle the events and take it back into the past to show you that what's happening today was planned sometimes 50, sometimes 80 years ago, sometimes 100, and by documentation as well, by the ones who, many who are long dead, who gave us the present culture you're living through right now, the ones who predicted this very stage and how society would be with single-parent families and that kind of stuff, too. Many of them died off in the 40s and 50s in the last century. But they knew what we're bringing in. And here we are, folks, back with more after this break.
Heart Sleep-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart and Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like elderberry power, oregacillin, olive leaf capsules, grapefruit seed extract, and Resper 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Don't forget vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, herbalhealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our 1-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Hi, I'm Alan Watt for Cutting Through the Matrix, and I've gone over many times this big agenda, this agenda for utopia, for the elite themselves, of course, and the technocrats they'll use to run the future, not too far from now, in fact, because they want a big, big cull. And they've talked about this openly. I'll touch on some of the big boys who did talk about it openly tonight, if I have time. And they were talking about this in the 1920s onwards, how they'd have to vastly reduce the populations. And in their inner circles, they always give stuff for their outer circles to print in public. But in inner circles, they go much, much further and deeper, talking about, and they get professors in to talk about the different ages that have come and gone, from Stone Ages to Bronze Ages and Iron Ages and things like that, right down to the Industrial Era, which, as I say, did away with so many craftsmen and artisans and put them all out of work forever, basically. And then go post-industrial, and then all that lot of work. The factories are out of work as well, because you've got new human capital, they call it, in China. So they're always wondering what to do with the rest of us, you see, who are technically, in their terms, obsolete, because they run on secular humanism and what they call being very pragmatic about the purpose of humanity. Because for them, you see, there's always a purpose for humanity. And we don't just exist for the sake of living. No, we have a purpose, you see. And the ones at the top believe that they were the ones who were chosen to lead the purpose. And they use Darwinism as a flag, almost, for their cause. And they run UNESCO and a whole bunch of organizations at the United Nations. They work closely with and are members of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Royal Institute of International Affairs, always generations, and they're still going at it. But one way was to bring down the population. Now, they've been very successful with creating infertility in men, and I've done many articles about that from their own websites, their own newspapers and journals, to do with the fact that there's such as a disappearing male that was done on CBC television. And they show you that the male today has very little active sperm, functioning sperm, compared to the 1950s model. And what they do have is active is often very deformed with two tails and things like that, can't even find its target. So this did not happen by coincidence, because back in the 20s they talked about using food and even drugs to basically cause infertility and bring down the populations. You cannot have such coincidences happening when they've mandated at the top and at least speculate on it at world meetings, and then it actually comes into fruition. So it's been done because people would not volunteer for such things, obviously. But when we go into other methods, too, of making you dumb and compliant, because that is the function of the average citizen at the bottom, is to be dumb and compliant. So I'll touch on that tonight, too. But here's an article here, and it's to do with something that happened in 2004 in Cornwall, in England. And another one happened only a couple of years ago. I remember reading about it, too. It's very, very similar in England. It says here, a coroner has criticized a water authority for gambling with the lives of 20,000 people by not telling them that for more than a fortnight, 2 weeks, about Britain's worst mass poisoning by their water company. West Somerset coroner Michael Rose criticized the South West Water Authority as he gave his verdict on the death of Carol Cross. It says Cross, 59, died in 2004 from a rare disorder usually associated with much older people suffering from Alzheimer's disease. Now, Alzheimer's was unknown at one point. You had various pre-senile dementias, is what they call them, and they were not that common either. And from the 1960s, late 60s onwards, they kind of sped up and became very common because something obviously happened to them. Nothing happens on a mass scale at the same time without a cause. And the cause is either inoculations, food, or something. Something's got into the body. Simple detective work, you see. Anyway, so she had been living in the Camelford area of North Cornwall in July 1988 when the poisoning occurred. She's one of 20,000 customers affected when a relief truck driver mistakenly added 20,000 tons of aluminium sulfate to the drinking water at the Lower Moor Treatment Works. The coroner recorded a lengthy narrative verdict in which he said there was a very real possibility that the ingestion of aluminium by Mrs. Cross had contributed to her death. Well, they always find it in the brains of Alzheimer's patients, high quantities of aluminium, as they call it in Britain. The inquest, which first began in November 2010, heard that post-mortem examination later found high levels of aluminium in Mrs. Cross's brain. The inquest was told that for more than 2 weeks, South West Water Authority, which ran the treatment works, didn't tell the public the cause of the poisoning and insisted the water was safe to drink. At least the guys that are looking after you, and who are you going to save themselves, or you? So this lie, you see. Many people reported rashes, diarrhea, mouth ulcers, and other health problems after drinking the water or bathing in it. The water became so polluted in the first few hours that customers reported hairs sticking to their body like superglue as they got out of the bath. Customers flooded the switchboard of the Water Authority, but were told it was safe, and it's been claimed that some were even advised to boil the water, which increased the levels of aluminium still further. Mrs. Cross, who lived on the outskirts of the town and later moved to Dulverton in Somerset, died in Taunton's Musgrove Park Hospital. She suffered from a rare neurological disease, cerebral amyloid angiopathy, and her husband, Dr. Doug Cross, believes her exposures to high levels of aluminium during the incident caused her death 16 years later. And Dr. Cross, who now lives in Cumbria, did not attend the hearing in Taunton, Somerset. But anyway, this is the stuff that's dumped in your water in lesser doses, you see. And, of course, we all know about the different things with fluoride and aluminum and all the rest of it that they dump in there. These are poisonings. They're medicating the water. See, you're drinking water should not need medication. have the right to medicate you. And you have to go into all of the effects of the medication, as they want to call it, because it's been used for nearly 100 years for dumbing people down. That's really what the stuff does to you. Makes you very compliant. And that's what they want at the top. So that's what happens when they put a bit too much in it at one time. It's not the first time trucks have arrived in the middle of the night and no one's there to tell them which dock to dump it in, and they dump it in the wrong one. This isn't the first time this has happened. And I'm sure there's been other instances where they haven't told the public at all or just kept lying. Yeah. Now, getting back to eugenics, this is all part of eugenics too, by the way, and population control and creating a public that are very obedient. And this article was a report to the Club of Rome in 1976, and it's called Rio, Reshaping the International Order. So R-I-O. Public opinion is no phenomenon sui generic. It is in part the result of government policies and by definition. So for the harder thinking, I'll just repeat that because it's, you have to catch this off the bat. Public opinion is no phenomenon. It just happens by itself. It is in part the result of government policies, and by definition, politicians cannot hide behind their own creation. If some sectors of public opinion in the industrialized countries are immersed in the rhetoric and slogans associated with misunderstanding, then much of this may be inherited from their political leaders. And if these leaders are in part responsible for a situation which impedes acceptance of the need for change, then they themselves must be held responsible for changing the situation. And as I say, that was Reshaping the International Order, a report to the Club of Rome, 1976, admitting that they're in charge of giving you your ideas and your thoughts and opinions. And at that time, they were saying that they'd have to do a better job, because some folks still had their own opinions, and they couldn't have that. You see, couldn't have that. And as I say, then you go into the various characters who were involved in UNESCO. Now, UNESCO, United Nations Educational and Scientific Order, basically, was set up, and Aldous, his brother, was the first CEO. And Julian Huxley, remember the Huxleys came, the grandfather was Sir Thomas Huxley, who was called Darwin's bulldog. He was the best pal of Darwin and took up this whole championing of not just evolution, but eugenics. That's what it's all about. Forget evolution. It's all about eugenics. Evolution was an excuse, you see. And Julian wrote lots of articles and books about the need to interfere with eugenics because there are too many unfit around the world. He belonged to the eugenics associations in the US and Britain, and talked and wrote lots about bringing down the population. He was also into zoology because he used animals and said man is just another animal. Study animals and we'll find ways to really manipulate the humans. He was also a champion for using UNESCO and its other organizations within the United Nations to bring down the population of the planet under the guise of women's health, as they called it, which was abortion across the world. Not because to help women free themselves, which was the slogans they all used, but to drastically reduce the population of what he said were the unfit and the primitive. That's why. Forget all these slogans of the feminists, they're all paid to yell and scream. The fact is, this is part of an agenda. And you see here too, this article is part here, taking the techniques of persuasion and information and true propaganda that we have learned to apply nationally in war, and deliberately bending them to the international tasks of peace, if necessary, utilizing them as Lenin envisaged, to overcome the resistance of millions to desirable change. Now, the ones at the top decide what's desirable change. Using drama, that's your movies, and to reveal reality and art as a method by which, in Sir Stephen Talent's words, truth becomes impressive and living principle of action. Back with more of this article when I come back from this break.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, I'm adding a quote from a paragraph from UNESCO, its purpose and philosophy, and you find that Huxley was the one behind this. He said this and wrote it. He says, just taking the techniques of persuasion and information and true propaganda, that's real mind-bending stuff, that we've learned to apply nationally in war, remember the first casualty of war is the truth, and deliberately bending them to the international tasks of peace, if necessary, utilizing them as Lenin envisaged to overcome the resistance of millions to desirable change, using drama to reveal reality and art as a method by which, in Sir Stephen Talent's words, truth becomes impressive and living principles of action, and aiming to produce that concerted effort which, to quote Grierson once more, needs a background of faith and a sense of destiny. This must be a mass philosophy, a mass creed, and it can never be achieved without the use of the media of mass communications. UNESCO, in the press of its detailed work, must never forget this enormous fact. So, in other words, using massive propaganda stage to bend the mind and to get everyone else, the victims of the eugenical program, to go along with everything. Consent, in other words. And he called it evolutionary humanism. And he was in with Charles Galton, Darwin, and others. Now, Charles Galton, of course, and Darwin was also a head of the eugenic society, and then it was taken over again by Huxley. They sort of swapped chairs all the time. But from The Next Million Years, which is a book written by Charles Galton Darwin in the 1950s, and he was a physicist, a natural scientist that worked on the Manhattan Project, and he still held dearly to Darwin's initial push off eugenics, basically. That's what the whole thing about this to do with Darwin. It was eugenics, not just the evolution of man, but eugenics itself. But for the next million years, it says, the detailed march of history will depend a great deal on the creeds held by the various branches of the human race. It cannot be presumed with any confidence that purely superstitious creeds will always be rejected by civilized communities, in view of the extraordinary credulity shown even now by many reputedly educated people. It's true that there may not be as many at the present time whose actions are guided by an inspection of the entrails of a sacrificial bull, but the progress has not been very great, for there are still many believers in palmistry and astrology. It is to be expected, then, that in the future, as in the past, there will be superstitions which will notably affect the course of history, and some of them, such as the ancestor worship, will have direct effects on the development of the human species. But superstitious creeds will hardly be held by the highly intelligent. And it's precisely the creed of these that matters. Is it possible that there should arise a eugenic creed which, perhaps working through what I have called the method of unconscious selection, should concern itself with improvement of the inherent nature of man, instead of resting content with merely giving him good but impermanent acquired characters? Without such a creed, man's nature will only be changed through the blind operation of natural selection. With it, he might aspire to do something towards really changing his destiny. So they're talking about the creed at the top, the ones who are basically humanists, secular humanism, and who are pragmatic. These are the guys who gave you and are teaching all your children situational ethics at school and moral relativity. You know, five in a boat, you have no food. The one who is sick, should you kill him and eat him? That kind of stuff. That's these are the guys who are ruling the world. These are the guys who work with the military before the battles. They plan long-term strategies, war after war, and bring it down to collateral damage and how many should they expect to lose, etc., etc. So they're cold-hearted psychopathic types, and they do interbreed, and definitely psychopathy can also be hereditary. There's no doubt about it. So I'll put up tonight links to UNESCO, Its Purpose and Its Philosophy by Julian Huxley, the first Director General of UNESCO, and it was published at Washington, D.C., Public Affairs Press, in 1947. And it's quite interesting going through it all. There's a lot in it, because he talks about the need to bring down the population of the world through different means, and how education we use as a function of a world society. So a world education must be standardized across the whole planet for everyone. So you'd all grow up in the same conditioned reality and accept whatever they've planned for you. And he says that the fact has also been emphasized by the development of intelligence testing, and that was done by Galton, who faked his results, by the way, because he wanted to prove that the working class were vastly inferior to the upper class. So he fudged all his statistics. They're still using the same test today in schools. But it says here, the fact is also being emphasized by the development of intelligence testing. Some authorities in this field going so far as to assert that only 10 to 20% of the population are capable of profiting by a university course. It says, peace must therefore be founded, if not to fail, upon the intellectual and moral solidarity of mankind. In the forefront is set UNESCO's collaboration in the work of advancing the mutual knowledge and understanding of peoples through all means of mass communication. Again, mass communication. But as you see, when you get down to it, he also talks about population control. He had population control on his brain. And remember, he belonged to the eugenic society. He was all for the sterilizing of the unfit, as he called them. You understand that these are the characters who gave Hitler his ideas. They were on the go long before Hitler, through various organizations. In fact, Hitler simply copied the eugenics program that they'd set up in mainly the U.S. Really something else. Back with more after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
want to know our real political and cultural history instead of the corporate media or the government school version devised to provide heroes and extract obedience? Then you will want to read The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. Learn how Lincoln's War, the majority of which occurred in the South, squandered the lives of at least 622,000 citizens, centralized government power, and introduced Marxism and militarism. Republic Broadcasting's own Deanna Spingola authored The Ruling Elite. On her daily program and in her book, Deanna is not afraid to delve into controversial issues. Order it now at Amazon.com or on Deanna's website, Spingola.com. The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. History is Prologue, our blueprint for today. Discover our history to better understand contemporary events.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, I'm back, heading into the Matrix, reading an article by Julian Huxley for UNESCO about the purpose of UNESCO, this wonderful United Nations organization. And he says, there are two tasks for the mass media division of UNESCO. I've mentioned before, they just hand out handouts to the, all the media now, and they're suddenly published, and that becomes just another article that you think is written by some independent journalist. No, there's a handout. Most of the stuff that is in general media now are simply handouts, except the trivia. But it says a specialist one is to enlist the press and radio and the cinema, and that was television too, to the fullest extent in the service of formal and adult education. By that I mean continuous education lifelong for updates on your political correctness as they bring new things into view. Of science and learning, of art and culture, the general one is to see that these agencies are used to both contribute to mutual comprehension between nations and cultures, and also to promote the growth of a common outlook shared by all nations and cultures. And the conclusion, he says, is the task before UNESCO is to help the emergence of a single world culture with its own philosophy and background of ideas and with its own broad purpose. This is opportune, since this is the first time in history that the scaffolding and mechanisms for world unification have become available, and also the first time that man has had the means of laying a worldwide foundation for the minimum physical welfare of the entire human species. and it is necessary for, at the moment, two opposing philosophies of life. You understand what he's really saying here, for those who are thinking? Minimum physical welfare, it was under the Department of Health, the World Health Organization at the United Nations. That's what the world is to be reduced down to with Obamacare, the British health system, same thing. Provide for the minimum physical welfare. That's also food, by the way, of the entire human species. That's what they're guaranteeing you, minimum. And it is necessary for the moment that two opposing philosophies of life confront each other from the West and from the East. That was capitalism and communism. It is necessary for, at the moment, two opposing philosophies of life confront each other from the West and from the East. That's the dialectic, you see. And that's why you had the long Cold War. And that's why you had the Rees Commission come out and with its conclusions, the big foundations that apparently were founding what seemed to be communist movements within America and Britain and elsewhere. And these foundations, some of the CEOs actually admitted it, and it was read out in Congress. The Ford Foundation said, CEO says, yes, we our job is to bring in the culture of the Soviets and blend it so well with that of the West that it'll become one in the end. And so you'll be ruled by a fascist group on the top, the bunch, UNESCO and so on, and the United Nations. But we'll all live in a form of collectivism at the bottom, getting minimal food, minimum health care, etc., etc. And he says it was necessary. It is necessary for, at the moment, two opposing philosophies of life confront each other. That was a dialectic process. Thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. So, he says, you may categorize the two philosophies as two supernationalisms, or as individualism versus collectivism, or as the American versus the Russian way of life, or as capitalism versus communism, or as Christianity versus Marxism. Can these opposites be reconciled, this antithesis be resolved in a higher synthesis? I believe not only that this can happen, but that through the inexorable dialectic of evolution, it must happen. And that's what your whole Cold War was all about. In pursuing this aim, we must eschew dogma, whether it be theological dogma or Marxist dogma. East and West will not agree on a basis of the future if they merely hurl at each other the fixed ideas of the past. For that is what dogmas are, the crystallizations of some dominant system of thought of a particular epoch. A dogma may, of course, crystallize tried and valid experience, but if it be dogma, it does so in a way which is rigid, uncompromising, and intolerant. If we're to achieve progress, we must learn to uncrystallize our dogma, be very flexible, etc. I'll put this link up tonight, as I say, and it's really interesting to go back into the history of the organizations that are still in existence today and still working towards the same future, and how they've managed to bring in their mass sterilization across third world countries under the guise of women's rights, you know, and all that stuff, and abortions too. Because they are the most racist, not just creed racist, but they're racist to the extent of classes, believe you me. It's a class thing with them. And they're working very well on it. As I say, most of the young guys now have a fraction of the sperm the guys had in the 1950s. And what they do have is utterly dysfunctional and deformed. Deformed. That didn't happen by itself, folks. And it's across the world now. This article here, I'll put up two, is from John Taylor Gatto, The Public School Nightmare, Why Fix a System Designed to Destroy Individual Thought. And it says, I want you to consider the frightening possibility we're spending far too much money on schooling and not too little. I want you to consider that we have too many people employed in interfering with the way children grow up. That is not a fact, all these government agencies. And all this money and all these people, all these time when we take out of children's lives and away from their homes and families and neighborhoods and private explorations gets in the way of education. That seems radical, I know. Surely in modern technological society, it is the quantity of schooling and the amount of money you spend on it that buys value. And yet last year I heard a vice president of IBM tell an audience of people assembled to redesign the process of teacher certification. Then, in his opinion, this country become computer literate by self-teaching, not through any actions of school. He said, 5 million people were comfortable with computers, who had learned through dozens of non-systematic strategies, none of them very formal. If schools had preempted the right to teach computer use, we would be in a horrible mess right now instead of leading the world in this literacy. So then he compares it with Sweden and so on, where they don't go to school until they're 7 years of age and they leave earlier than the ones in the West, and so on and so on. I'll put this article up. As he shows you the techniques of how your mind is swayed to look upon Japan and countries like that, where they put in way more time at school, even per day, never mind years. And it's just, why are they doing this? Why not point to Sweden and say, well, look, Sweden's got less time at school, and you don't start till you're seven, and you leave when you're earlier? It's because they want you to be tied up in school forever, that's why. And he explains why that works and the whole purpose behind it. And he also explains a lot of the history that it came from, and how in 1806, when Napoleon's amateur soldiers beat the professional soldiers of Prussia at the Battle of Jena, says, when your business is selling soldiers, losing a battle like that is serious. Almost immediately afterwards, a German philosopher named Fichte, by the way, literally was one hell of a demon, and there's a lot of them really stuck to his particular schooling today. Anyway, Fichte delivered his famous address to the German nation, which became one of the most influential documents in modern history. In effect, he told the Prussian people that the party was over and that the nation would have to shape up to a new utopian institution of forced schooling in which everyone would learn to take orders. So the world got compulsive schooling at the end of a state bayonet for the first time in human history. Modern forced schooling started in Prussia in 1819 with a clear vision of what centralized schools could deliver and should deliver. Obedient soldiers to the army, obedient workers to the mines, well-subordinated civil servants to the government, well-subordinated clerks to industry, and five citizens who thought alike about major issues, because they're all getting the same information from the same sources. They're better, the elite. See? And schools should create an artificial national consensus on matters that have been worked out in advance by leading German families at the head of institutions. Schools should create unity amongst all the German states, eventually unifying them into Greater Prussia. It's so easy to get a child and brainwash them, isn't it? It's so darned easy. And that's been known forever. And this article here is about homeschooling too. There's a lot of folk all across the world now really into homeschooling. And some of them in Sweden, for instance, are getting hammered because Sweden is such a socialistic state. And, of course, if you just talk loudly to a child that's being disobedient, that can mean the child can get lifted from your home. No kidding. But it says, the people never give up their liberty, but under some delusion. And that's from Edmund Burke. And that's how they started off the conference. It is the nature and intent of that delusion which I want to explore in this talk, in the hope of better enabling us to know what it might be worthwhile to attempt to do to improve conditions for us at home as home educators, and what might be hopeless or action or worse. Please bear with me if what follows does not at first seem to have much to do with home education. I promise I will try to justify its inclusion. The state is the principal manufacturer of mass delusion, and almost everything in it does have this quality of appearing to be one thing, but really being another, and isn't that the truth? It's usually an opposite thing. Parliaments are really now reduced to little more than pantomime staged to entertain us with the illusion of sovereign government we voted for, as it simply dresses up and puts into place the directors of global governance to which it is signed up and legally committed to. And that's true. They've all signed on to that in 1946 at the United Nations meeting in San Francisco. Much of what passes for national policy can be found in the EC Lisbon 10-year strategies, the Lisbon Treaty for the Economic Union. And you'll find the 10-year strategies one, and in the United Nations Agenda 21, for example. But these are not the only sources. There's a vast, bewildering world of more institutions than it is possible to imagine, let alone remember out there, all dedicated to expertly determining for us how we shall live, what we will think and believe and even feel about it all. Web surf through this morass sometimes, if you've never done so, and you'll begin to understand your intended place in the totally managed world. on the idea stumble across the International Union of Local Authorities. Did you know there was an International Union of Local Authorities, folks? Did you? You know how old it is? 98 years has been on the go. 98 years. It says, pause taking the possibility of anachronism here. If you've ever wondered how local government in one country can manage to oppress home educators in seemingly identical ways with identical prejudices and modus operandi, then here is a contender for one efficient mechanism for globalizing bad practice. Amusingly, in attempting to resource this organization, I fell over another couple in the same field before finding my way back to this one. One of them cheerfully informed me that half the legislation affecting local government comes from the EC. 98 years. Can you believe that? Because of the International Association of Mayors, and on and on it goes. So even institutions of local and national government itself, as we're taught to understand them, are mostly a delusion. The real power and planning happens elsewhere behind the scenes, and national government is reduced now to puppet status the world over. And that really is true because they've outsourced most of the departments to these big foundations and organizations. Very few major events of the past have occurred in the absence of conspiracies, and that's what G. Edward Griffin pointed out. And it's just to think that our modern age must be an exception is not rational. If we don't know this, then perhaps our own educations in history have been somewhat lacking. The use of this term as ridicule of critics of the state is undesirable, as a good example of how what passed for our own thoughts are handed to us by the state. Well, isn't that what Julian Huxley was saying in that previous article I said? Deception is a state of mind and the mind of state, wrote James Angleton, head of counterintelligence at the CIA from 1954 to 1974, who was in a position to know, I think. It is an indefensible and demonstrable nonsense to apply the term conspiracy theory to what can be so easily demonstrated to be the case from the very architects themselves. Aldous Huxley knew what he was writing about in Brave New World because his whole family were world controller class and intelligentsia. His director of the Central London Hatchery and Conditioning Centre explains, at last the child's mind is these suggestions, and the sum of the suggestions is the child's mind. And not the child's mind only, the adult's mind to all his lifelong education and indoctrination. The mind that judges and desires and decides made up of these suggestions, but all these suggestions are our suggestions, suggestions from the state. Julian Huxley, Huxley's older brother, was the first director of UNESCO, United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization. He wrote his mission statement in 1946, in which he said, in its educational program, it can stress the ultimate need for the world political unity and familiarize all peoples with the implications of the transfer of full sovereignty from separate nations to a world organization. It is not possible to reconcile this statement with fighting for king and country, which was therefore a con, these being slated obsolescence even as the war was being fought, and indeed long before that. The United Nations and its various agencies, through its 1,298 treaties that you've all signed, all your governments have signed 1,298 treaties that national governments are signed up to implementing in domestic law, is the global governance, and its founding documents as above and other sources reveal that this was always its mission. A not dissimilar ambition to Hitler just defeated unification mission also, but such unification was never going to come about through military conquest. War did provide the excuse for implementing much of the same agenda through peaceful means, and how we have come to understand the mission of the United Nations as world peacekeeper, and thus feel such affiliation, gratitude, and reverence for it. It's not too cynical, unfortunately, to see the two world wars of the 20th century as a manufacture of a problem justifying the solution, which is the UN, which turns out to be what it seems to be, but merely a similar world conquest ambition in disguise. And that's what it is. That's what the United Nations is, for world conquest. Indeed, the League of Nations, formed after World War I, was the prototype of the UN and its International Commission on Intellectual Cooperation, which doesn't sound any less totalitarian, and its implications was simply rebranded as UNESCO. World War II, therefore, served to further advance the pre-existence covert agenda. It was as necessary for the success of the UN and its one world government agenda as 9/11 was necessary for the Patriot Act and the rest of the destruction of civil liberties in America and across the globe since then. And this one goes on and on quite a bit too. But localism and all these things as well is just the next part of it. It's called communitarianism. That's the collectivist part that Julian Huxley talked about. But it's run by a super elite. I'll also put up tonight as well, at cuttingthroughmedia.com, this first report out of today's meeting from the big organizations and that run the world. They have it in Washington, D.C. today and tomorrow.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesite, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit terravim.com.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Hi, folks. I am Alan Watt, cutting into the Matrix. And just before I go to caller, as the Council of Councils is having their first world meeting in Washington, D.C. It's run by the Council on Foreign Relations, the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and basically it's all the other organizations across the world, the ones who advise all the different governments as to what to do. So they're having their big meeting right now. I've got the first report from the speeches today, and some of the attendees were at it, all the big players, of course. And you can make from that what you will. They're pretty blatant, and if you get their drift of where they're going, about what they're going to do and so on. Now, I'll take Steve from Oregon, if he's there.
Yes, I'm here, Alan. Let's go quick. I'll be brief and articulate. Number one is I appreciate you, and I'm bored of everybody. I don't think I'll get bored of you. That point, okay? And then the other one is, first I want to talk about one thing that I learned is the queenship. Now, I never knew about this. Something brought it to my attention. And I started looking into it, and there's like five levels of all this queenship that she does. And I just wanted to give one point, but I have another one I'd rather talk about. But then I look at they gave the queenship to the Beatles. Paul McCartney kept his, and so he meets with Bush and Obama. John Lennon gave his back, and he's dead. So yep. First I wanted to say that.
Well, actually, Paul McCartney also bought his knightship. At that time, Tony Blair was in for $40,000 donated to the Labour Party. He put you forward to get a knightship, yeah.
Right. So let me go on to the next one, and I'll let you go. Is I want to talk about LSD. Now, I'm 54 years old. I'm doing good. My kids are 22 and 24, doing great. We're not in school loans. All the stuff that you talk about, we all know. My wife, everything. So, and I got property and goats, chickens, whatever. So I'm fine, but kind of, I suppose. Yeah, I understand all you're talking about. But when I was in my 20s, I did LSD, and I did it a lot. But what I did is I didn't want to watch walls melt like my friends did. I'm going, this is stupid, you know. I want to be in control of my life. And so what I did is what was raw back then, you know, I would cut it into, you know, quarters. 50 cents a day is what it cost me. I did it almost every day, you know. And I'm telling you, I really liked it. But once he got, the person who was selling it to me got caught. Luckily, he only got probation. But I just quit, you know. I just quit. I didn't have withdrawals. I had nothing. And one of the things that came to my mind when I quit is that it was almost taken as saying, you don't need LSD. You can do this on your own. You can do it by looking at the trees. You can do it by this, and you can do it by that. But it's hard because they're pulling us so hard. And so I just wanted to, and I think I'm done, and I'll let you talk now.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, that McCartney and the Beatles did LSD, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. That's also how you get a knighthood, too, was for promoting the drugs. I do know that the early stuff that came out of LSD was really, really potent stuff. And I can remember girls at rock concerts walking into a lake at one point and drowning themselves. And friends of mine who actually walked out the second story window and crawled along a telegraph wire and then reached for a star and fell down two floors onto some concrete. So that was very common as well. And different folk would affect in different ways as well. Some really bad trips. Some people would take one dose of it and end up with drug-induced schizophrenia. They kept getting flashbacks and seeing monsters for years later. It's one dose. It depends upon yourself, you see. But it's not something I would certainly advise. But it was promoted from the top down, as I say, even through the music, big time by the BBC. All the old Etonians pushed the stuff on the population. So it certainly had an effect. So thanks for calling. And Ronnie in Oregon, maybe he can call tomorrow. Hamish myself, Montreal, Canada, it's good night to me. God, dear God, let's go with you.